And we're back. Peter, Georgia, Jason, and I'm Scott, your host here at 102.9. We're live every Tuesday, 10 a.m. And folks, to listen to us, do what works best, and that's go online, find 102.9 FM Stouffville, or go to whistlefm.ca and follow instructions, and you'll find your way to listen live. And you know, obviously, no matter where you are, you can listen. Whereas if you try to use the signal, if you're on the periphery even of Stouffville, you might not get us. So go online, and not only that, you'll be able to share the whole program if you wish, because we turn it into a podcast within a few days after the actual show, and then we put it on social media. If you're not connected with me on Facebook, connect with me, and other than that, give me your email address and I'll put you on a distribution list and make sure you get a copy of that podcast. So we're back with Peter and Georgia. We're talking about love. We're talking about you know, how we initiate, what we do, what's our part in turning society around into a loving thing rather than a hateful, hurtful, you know, and so on. I mean, you can't look at a newspaper, listen to a newscast almost daily here around the GTA now and not hear of not only shootings, but most of the time a death or two, you know, and it's pretty, it's certainly not what I grew up with, and it's, I don't know whether it's scary or not, it doesn't make me very comfortable. Anyway, so we're going to try and love people, you know, and what's the best way to do that? Like, does anybody have a formula, or do you even think about that, other than just trying to do what's right, you know? Any thoughts along those lines, either Georgia or Peter? Peter, I know you're a great lover. Why don't you give us a little bit of a little bit of a spiel on how do you reach out? Because you're a nice guy. You're a nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
Before you insult me or something.
That's the opinion of everybody. But yeah, love is good. I would recommend it.
Where'd you find it?
Oh, it found me. Yeah. No, yeah, I got nothing.
Okay, how am I charitable? You know, and you and your wife, especially as a team, are always doing something to, you know, like even today, Pauline called before I left and said, but, you know, why don't you and your guests, you know, on your way back to wherever you're going, stop at our place and we'll give you some lunch and so on. And I thought, you know, that's typical Pauline, by the way, no matter what's going on. Just like the way she went out and found Georgia, wherever she was on our last
get-together.
And bring her in. That's how she lives. And
Pauline's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your part in all this, Peter? You're
I'm just
there.
Along for the ride.
Hey, let me ask you this one. How is strong here, but how do I believe that the Spirit of God is in me? You know, and that's a question for you to ask you.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that later.
No, but I know you were brought up like staunch Christians kind of thing, and I also know you went wayward like so many.
Allegedly.
Yeah, and until you confess, it's not a reality.
Oh, right, I forgot about that.
But you were brought up like seriously, and you're the one of the few guys that I meet anyway who says, you know, my parents were absolutely perfect as far as I can tell, and in every way, and yet still, you know, and it's good for everybody to know that not everybody stays the line, you know, and stays the course, and you didn't for quite a long time. Although you never stopped loving anybody, I don't think. You might have become a little sarcastic over the years, but but really, like, how do you compare the two? Like,
well,
you were taught it, and now you need to learn it for you.
Yeah, like, I was very loved by my parents, and I slipped away from the church, but not from my parents. My parents loved me unconditionally, and I was very blessed for a period of 9 or 10 years. I was a, my father took ill, and I was able to move in with my parents and help my mom take care of my dad. And that was like pure love. Mm-hmm. That was just, well, don't get me crying, but that was the best. Well, not the best. Right now, Pauline's the best.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was so cool. Like me slipping away from the church had nothing to do with me not being loved or my parents not loving me. It was just my problem, and I just got off track and for about 20 years, but I'm back and things are good, and I've never been happier. So anyone out there who's having a rough time, hang in one day at a time. And you know, if you have addictions or something, go to meetings, come to Sharing the Burden. Sharing the Burden is great. It's the first time I ever talked to anybody about my drinking or anything. That was just kind of my little secret. But yeah, so I've had an interesting life, but I believe God's in charge of everything. I believe there's a point for everything. And right now I can honestly say I've never been happier. So, like, I'm 64. When I was like 34, I might not have told you that, but I'm very thankful for how my life turned out, and I just thank God every day.
What's interesting, though, when you were young, you told me a couple of stories, and one of them was about your dad wanting you to get a haircut. And it was almost as though, in essence, if you didn't get that haircut, you know, you were sort of almost not part of the whole deal, because you would have been left out in the snow.
That was my decision. I didn't want to get a haircut, right? So I ran away from home, like, for a few hours in the middle of the winter. And I grew up in Northern Ontario, walked across a frozen lake, and so I was freezing to death. So I phoned my dad for a payphone and said, yeah, I'm freezing, I want to come home. He said, yeah, you're welcome, but I want you to get a haircut. And that was kind of the, you know, the deal. Yeah, we love you, but you're a young kid, and this is my house, and you should get a haircut.
Yeah, and we know it, you know, sacrificing you, if must be, is okay.
Well, you know what? Actually,
that's you still haven't got a haircut.
That's probably why. That's probably why I have long hair today.
Probably only got that one haircut.
No, but that was, my parents were very loving, you know. And again, it's the whole brethren upbringing, and it's not so much what my parents thought; it's what other Christians thought about how they were raising their kids, right? So if their kid had long hair and everyone thought that was wrong, well, then that was wrong, right? Like, my parents' attitude about a lot of stuff changed. And, you know, like, I took them to a Jesus Rock concert, and yeah, they were cool. They were very cool.
Yeah.
And then I was so fortunate I was able to help look after my dad.
Yeah, well, that's an honor, and that's
it is.
You know, and I know I've talked to you many times about the way you kind of took your mom and dad both to the end there, and then moved on, and how that's probably in many ways the best part of your life and the worst part, of course. But you know, it leaves you with a sense, I hope, and I believe anyway, that well, I really did everything I could right to the end, you know, and there's a huge satisfaction I find in that, you know. And
That was good. It was very good. And at the time, it was the best thing in my life. But right now, being married to Pauline.
Good. Good for you. That's a little cry, Peter. Come on.
Very emotional. No, being married to Pauline and having kids and grandkids, it's just amazing. It's great.
Oh, that's great.
I've never been happier. And especially to be involved with you and Sharing the Burden and the jail ministry. Even to be here today to tell people, hey, life can get better, you know. Yeah. But don't do what I did and disappear for 20 years and drink yourself to sleep every night, because you need public. You have to be out in the public.
Yeah. Good news. Georgia, mm-hmm. when you think about love, and I know you're obviously a lot closer to it now or involved in it, really, than you would have been when you were out there, sort of thing. So, you know, what does love feel like to you? Like, how do you describe, you know, a life with love versus not? You know, because you got to be talking emotions all the time in your,
you know. So emotions used to terrify me. Yeah. Like, high school was a pivotal year because I associated feelings with weakness, right? So, like, I literally spent, like, 20 years trying to void myself of those and my emotions, and then, you know, grief piled on and regret piled on. So when I got sober, like, those emotions didn't return for a long time. But love feels like hearing your favorite song throughout your whole body. I don't know how to explain it. Like, feeling connected to somebody, looking through their protection and the strategies that they play, and just seeing the wholeness that is them. Mm. It's difficult to describe, for sure. But music is one of my ways for activating my emotions.
Yeah.
I went out for Halloween, and I hadn't been out because there's so much alcohol involved in music these days, for a long time, but it felt like it removed a layer of blockage that I had surrounding my heart. And the next week was full of a lot of painful emotions, but I'm grateful to feel those, because when those subside, then I'm filled with connection and love again, right? I think connection, oneness, and I see it everywhere now. Like, I look at nature, I look at flowers, and all of the things that I walked by for so long and didn't notice are so beautiful.
That's a great place to be, you know, a little, I don't mean physically, but where you're learning to appreciate or reappreciate or appreciate again, because I know one of the things that we go through is we get so busy with what we do, even in this, you know, that those things almost take a back seat sometimes for long periods of time, you know. And I noticed lately I've been taking the time to, a little bit of time anyway, to go out there and talk a little more about that than about the, survival, love, and growth of inmates, you know, which is wonderful, but there's other things that they would rather be doing too, and I should be that way. Not rather be doing, but you know, if I don't feed myself to the extent that I'm a healthy being, I'm not much good for anybody who I go in to help. So I've decided, you know, I've got to be healthier, and in that way, and the only way to do that is to get back to the things I really love that God produced, you know, like you say, the flowers, in our case, the bottom of the Rouge, and all the new pathways that have been built along there, you know, for people to enjoy. And it's right, I can do it right from my house, you know, and in 5 minutes I can be down possibly spotting deer and things, you know, under the 407 and things like that. People don't realize there's a beauty everywhere, you know. And often I remember hearing a story of somebody in a camp, I think it was in Vietnam. He was held captive, and anyway, in such a terrible condition that for some reason there was a little crack somewhere where they could see a bit of light through, and he'd see this one blade of grass, you know, just kind of moving back and forth once in a while. And he said that, you know, that blade of grass was more beautiful than anything you could imagine, you know, because it was real and has life in it, and it's not inside the place they were. So there's beauty in everything, and I think we need to appreciate that. What about you, Jay? You've been through a lot of rough stuff lately. What do you do to, you know, to make yourself, make your mind healthier? I mean, you know, do you like, I know you go to the country or to your cottage quite often.
That's right. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's great to escape the, you know, the hustle and bustle of the city, and and just to escape, go up to the cottage, enjoy the, you know, the fresh air. Mm-hmm. I think music is very powerful as well. You know, doing my Saturday night block party show here on Whistle FM, and you know, just listening to music or going out to dance or whatever, mm-hmm. just doing something that, you know, is, you know, something out of the norm, you know, just to kind of escape the daily stresses that you might be going through. So and it just makes you feel a whole lot better.
Well, that dancing too, that you should mention. I know obviously you run a show that's all about dancing and DJs who DJ similar programs and so on. So and you obviously must dance yourself.
I do, definitely, so you for sure.
Jump around, and it's great to me to see that you've taken your life and turned whatever you've got into positive stuff. The dancing is one, and just getting places. I mean, you know, it's not as easy to get places when you could fall a lot easier than some people and that sort of thing. Yet you go out and you do it, and you're downtown half the time on the, you know, at night, I think, too, on the weekends, aren't you?
Like, I haven't been out in a while, but now that my health is doing better, some good friends of mine, they're putting an event together for me on November 23rd. You know, through everything I've been through, they want to put this event together, and we're going to raise some money for the Kidney Foundation, and a way to kind of get together and say, hey, you know, I'm feeling better now, and, you know, I haven't seen a lot of my friends in a while, so it'll be great to get together with my friends and enjoy that. So looking forward to that in a couple of weeks.
Well, how would somebody get involved with that if they wanted to?
They can. There's an event on Facebook. It's called Big Love, a Jam for Jason. So you can look for the event on there and, you know, come on out to the T&M Sidewalk Cafe down on the Danforth on November 23rd and meet some of the DJs that I've had on my radio show and some of the great friends that I've met through my show. And let's get together and have a good time and, you know, celebrate the fact that I'm, you know, doing better now thanks to dialysis. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Can you say the event name one more time? I didn't catch it.
Oh, A Big Love, A Jam for Jason, it's called.
Okay.
So if you look that up on Facebook, you'll find it. And or if you're a friend of me, I can send you an invite to that. And, you know, I'd love to have you come out and support it and raise some money for a good cause, the Kidney Foundation. So,
yeah.
Good move.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Make sure you get out there and support Jay, folks, if you can. Now, show me how I can get out of here again and get an ad going.
Oh, yeah, we got to pay some more bills.
In the old days, we got to pay a lot of bills.
We got to pay some more bills. So
we got to raise money for paying bills around here.
We sure do.
Find a way to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, so we'll do that. We'll come back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.